The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Luke chapter 19. You can go ahead and turn there. We'll read 11 through 13. We'll just stop there. We read the other part a couple weeks ago. Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Now let me stop right there and make sure that everybody understands. That was the mindset of the Jewish people at that time. They believed that when the Messiah showed up, that he was going to establish his kingdom on the earth. He was going to overthrow all the powers, the worldly powers that were there at that time. And for them, it was the Romans. He was going to overthrow the Romans. He was going to set up his kingdom. And the millennial reign was going to begin. That's what they thought was going to happen. That was the normal teaching of the day. That was the eschatology teaching or the prophetic teaching of their day. Now, I want to say this about some of the eschatology or end-time teaching, prophecy teaching of our day. Be careful. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you believe. Because I believe that there are just people that are off base with this stuff. And they don't understand what's going on, although they're trying. Now, here's the thing. I don't believe that many of our Bible teachers and people who are teaching Bible prophecy, end time prophecy, are trying to distort anything or trying to deceive anybody. They're just like many of the teachers in Jesus' day. They don't have the whole story. They don't have all the information. They think they do, but they don't. So when it comes to end times, sometimes we do our best to try to understand it. But what we have to do sometimes is just wait and see. Let's just wait and see where this Antichrist comes from. Let's just wait and see how this whole thing plays out. But in the meantime, let's stop getting so caught up in what's going to happen in the future and start getting caught up in what God wants us to do today to make some changes for the future. Let's recognize what Jesus said to us in this scripture. He's telling us, listen, first of all, the Jews expected something to happen that wasn't going to happen, and it distorted their thinking. It got in the way of their thinking. Then Jesus said to them, he told them this parable, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and a return. And so he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business until I come. Now the King James says occupy till I come. It doesn't matter. They're both the same. He's telling us to do our job. The reason that we've been placed here is to do business until Jesus comes. And that means that whatever we do in our life, it's supposed to make a difference in the kingdom, in God's overall kingdom. Kingdom work. We need to be kingdom-minded. We got to stop being personally minded, individually minded, church-minded, because church minds can get in the way. Church mind can distort the truth. We need to be kingdom-minded about the kingdom. You see, the church is part of the kingdom, but the church is not necessarily the kingdom. The church builds the kingdom. The church goes forth to accomplish things for the kingdom. The church is the kingdom agent in this earth. But the kingdom is what God wants to establish in individual lives, which eventually moves out into our communities, our churches, our communities, our states, our nation. It'll make a difference. Now, I'm praying. And I am asking God that it's not too late for these things to happen. It's not too late for believers to rise up and make a difference. Because we are living in a very, very, very late hour in our world and in our nation. So it is time for us to be stirred up. It is time for us. But it's got to begin with us individually. Do business until I come, Jesus said. Occupy till I come. Do these things that need to be done. Be kingdom-minded. Listen, for many, many, many years, we have been church-minded. We have thought about what we're going to do at church and how church is going what kind of programs we're going to do at church and what's going to happen with our church schedule and all these things that, you know, it's important, yes, that we be organized, absolutely. When we come in here, I believe we should be as organized as we possibly can. That's godly. God is an organized God. Look at our world. Very organized. However, if that's all we are focusing on is church, we're missing the mark. We're missing it. And I mentioned to you a couple weeks ago, the reason for that is our Platonic thinking. It's the process that we go through to think. It's a pattern that God has, or that we have allowed to be established, particularly in Western cultures. We have picked up on Plato's way of thinking, and Plato had lines of demarcation, and he separated spiritual things from physical things. And we've allowed this stuff to get in the way of our thinking. We've allowed the world to get in the way of our thinking. We've allowed the world to program us. We sit in front of this boob tube that just constantly is filling us full of nonsense over and over and over and over. And I love to watch basketball, football. You know, I'm not much of a baseball fan. A lot of you are, and that's okay. But it's just too slow for me. I like speed. Amen. But you know, one of the things that I have to be extremely cautious of when I watch sports is to be careful with those commercials. Be careful with those cheerleaders. You know, I have to say, mine and I do not look at that because it's harmful to you. I have to do what the Word of God says. I have to take authority over my flesh. And we have to be very careful that we do not just sit in front of this thing and allow it to program us day after day after day with the kind of thinking that it wants to program us with. They are programming us over and over. If you don't believe that, look, I haven't watched a regular television program for so long, but I can guarantee what little bit I've heard and what I've been reading, that the homosexual agenda is being promoted on just about every program you watch. Do I hate homosexuals? No, I don't hate homosexuals. I love them enough to say, God says that's a sin, and you need to turn from it. Just like I love people who are caught in adultery and say, that's a sin. You need to turn from it. Liars, you're going to hell if you don't turn from it. You see, sin is sin. Sin is destroying people's lives. Sin is destroying our nation. Nobody wants to talk about sin anymore from the pulpit. Because when you talk about sin, people begin to have to examine themselves. And when they start to examine themselves, they have a choice to make. They're either going to turn from their wickedness or they're going to leave. And we have established ministries in such a way that if they leave, we can't function anymore because we need that dollar that they put in the offering. We have set up a system that is destroying the real church of Jesus Christ and taking our kingdom-mindedness away from us. It's all about how many people we can get. It's all about whether we can make people feel good or not. Whether they walk out the door on Sunday morning and say, man, that was a great message. Boy, do I feel good. And then just go about and do whatever you want to do. Put your boots back on and go walk around in smuck and mire and all that kind of stuff that's out there. Do what you want. I know that I'm not preaching happiness and joy right now. But believe me, when we get our lives cleaned up, there is happiness and joy that goes along with it. There's contentment and peace. The reason we don't have contentment and peace is because we're doing things we shouldn't be doing. Because the Word of God is very clear that we need to get our lives in order with His Word. Glory. Praise God. I leave the feel-good message to Pastor Chris. He did a great job last week. Didn't he do great? He did a fantastic job. Praise God. Pattern of our thinking. We have to get hold of that and recognize how important it is that we have biblical thinking. I read a story about an island in the South Pacific. And missionaries kept trying to go to that island and preach, Christian missionaries, and preach the gospel. And finally, they broke through, and many of them lost their lives. But finally, they got to the king, or the leader on that island. And he got saved. He received Christ as a personal Savior. And the whole island became a Christian island. Christians living there. A few years later, a man from I think it was a military guy, came to that island. And he went in to see the chief. And the chief was in there reading his Bible. And that guy said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm reading my Bible. He said, chief, don't you know that that thing is outdated? Those are fables in there. In my country, we've decided a long time ago that thing, it's not worth reading. Why don't you just throw that thing out? And the chief said, now, wait a minute. Let me try to get this straight. Before I received Christ as my personal Savior and I started reading this book, I was a very bad man. You see, people would come to my island and we would cook them and eat them. But now, I understand that I'm not supposed to do things like that. Let me try to understand what you're saying to me, sir. He said, what you want me to do is throw this Bible out and eat you. Let's think about what's our thinking. The pattern. You know, that was a pattern of thinking. That guy didn't think in the pattern of the Bible. The chief was thinking in the pattern of the Bible. He had the right pattern. The biblical pattern, the Hebrew way of thinking about things. That God wants us to love our neighbor. Love our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Love our neighbor. You see, when we begin to recognize that we've had a pattern of thinking that it has been distorted, it's been taught to us from the wrong perspective, and we begin to get on track with the biblical thinking, and we start filling our mind with the good things of God and the power of God, we begin to recognize that there is no difference between my spiritual life and my physical life. There's no difference between my spiritual life and my family life. There's no difference between my spiritual life and my work life. It's all spiritual. Everything is spiritual. I'm not spiritual because I'm in church on Sunday morning and then I go outside and I'm physical or I'm carnal. Yes. No, I'm a spiritual being that's been created in the image of God. And wherever I go and whatever I do means that I act according to the principles of the Word of God. That's why I have to have this kind of thinking in my life. So that I recognize that today or to Monday morning when I go someplace, if I go to the bank, that my actions in that bank will represent the kingdom of God. So if I go in that bank and I'm not feeling great that day, and I mistreat that teller behind the desk there, if I say something I shouldn't say or act in a way that I shouldn't act toward her or him, what kind of a representative am I of the kingdom of God? We have to begin to get our thinking in that realm, so to recognize what, you know, that kind of thinking, that pattern is that wherever we go and whatever we do, it is kingdom. And we're representing. We are ambassadors of Christ, is what the Word of God tells us. Ambassadors for the kingdom. That's a representative. An ambassador goes to another country. The truth is, our residency is in heaven. That's what the Bible teaches. No doubt about it. However, we have been placed here as ambassadors to reach people for the kingdom of God. Do His work. Okay. I'm going to get off that. I do want to. Yeah, I'm just going to move on. Edmund Burke said this: the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for the good man to do nothing. And I'm sure you've all heard that quote before. That's an important quote for our day and time. Because I want to tell you, there are evil men that are doing things all over this world that are manipulating and controlling. They're manipulating and controlling a banking system. They're manipulating and controlling economies. They're manipulating and controlling wars. Those people, those are the kind of people that think of themselves as gods. And our God is going to judge their actions. And in the meantime, we as believers in Jesus Christ must make sure that we're doing the best we can possibly do to be the representative God wants us to be. I was speaking to someone this morning, and we were talking about their job. I'm not going to tell you who it was or where it was, but that they were talking about. However, they said that this particular office in a town nearby, I better just go on. I better stop right there. Yeah, I know. Anyhow, what I was told was that there's a particular office that when Christians go there, they have a very difficult time. And what happens is, if they're there for very long, it changes their life, not for the good, but for the evil. Now, let me tell you something. If that's the case, we have some fundamental problems in Christianity. Believers are not learning who they are in Christ. Believers are not walking in the power of God. Let me tell you, listen closely to what I'm about to say here. This is very important. If we as believers go into a situation where there is nothing but darkness, and that darkness covers our light, we're in big trouble. Amen. Because there is a bunch of darkness out there. Yes, there is. And I'm not going to curse the darkness. I'm going to say, light, do your job. You see, when Daniel and his friends were placed in Babylon, that was the most heathenistic and hedonistic place on the face of the earth at the time. And what did they do? They didn't succumb to the evil that was in that society. They stood for God. They stood up and they said, we're going to make a difference. Daniel made choices and he said, I'm not going to eat this food that you want me to eat that's sacrificed to idols. I'm not going to do that. He was very courteous and very polite about it, but he made it clear he wasn't going to do it. Because he knew what his God said. He served his God. And this is what we must do as believers in Jesus Christ. We must take an absolute stand today, now, and believe and trust our God. I can't guarantee you that everything's always going to turn out exactly the way you want them to. Listen to what the three Hebrew children said to the king of Babylon. They said to him, they said this, "We will not serve your gods. And our God is well able to deliver us. However, if he does not, we still will not serve your gods." That, you know, listen, we have got to, unless you are willing to die for Jesus, I doubt that you're willing to live for him. That's what we have to come to. We have to realize that this is a true, absolute commitment to our King, to serve him with all our heart, soul, and mind. Hallelujah. All right, so it's a pattern of our thinking. The next thing is the process of our thinking. When Jesus said, "Do business till I come," we've interpreted that to think that he meant, well, you know, do business in anything that is spiritual. However, it is very clear in this scripture that he's talking about money. The minus was a salary. It was 3 months worth of salary. So he was clearly talking about money, and he was talking about responsibility, taking the proper place that God has placed you in and be responsible where you are. I'm telling you, in this world today, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you take your faith serious and you will apply yourself to any position that you go into, and you will do it with excellence, you'll be head and shoulders above everybody else. Because there are few who are willing to work and live their life that way anymore. Christians, we should be that few. We should be the ones that are climbing the ladder of success in the businesses and the jobs or whatever the situation, wherever we are. We should be the ones that are going to the top because we are willing to put our everything in perspective. That means that we're going to serve God first and then we're going to serve people. And when you serve people and you do what is right and you give your heart and your soul to something, particularly you have it in line, you have it in order, you have God first, and then these things down here, vertical and horizontal in order. Vertical God, horizontal relationships, family, spouse, family, church family, work. You see, there's an order to everything. God established this order. And when we fall and we get in line in that order, then things begin to click in our lives. We don't like to think that Jesus was telling us about money, about how we should handle money, because we all like to spend money. How many of you like to go to town and spend money? Come on. We all do. Well, we find ways to spend money. However, Jesus is teaching here that we're supposed to not only spend money, but invest money. And be good stewards of our money. And be good stewards of the things that he has given us responsibility for. And if we will do that, he will add to our responsibility. And he'll promote us in this life. If we're going to change the pattern of our thinking to affect the process of our thinking, we need to get back to God's way of thinking. And that is the Word of God. We have gotten so far from the Word of God and understanding how the Word of God can impact individual lives that we no longer think of this thing as being sacred. Think of the words inside of it as being sacred. Now, I don't think this particular book in itself is that sacred and holy, but the words inside of it are. They're the Word of God. Yes, sir. And it And these words will change your life. You know, many of our founding fathers knew the Bible. They could quote scripture after scripture after scripture. And there was a couple of them that could quote the whole Bible, chapter and verse. Isn't that incredible? Now, we think, you know, these men, they were very intelligent men. There's no doubt about that. However, I want you to understand something. I don't care how intelligent you are, unless you apply yourself, you don't learn something like that. How much are we applying ourselves to the Word of God? That's what will change the process of our thinking. If we can understand that the pattern of our thinking should not be the way we've always thought, but it should be biblical thinking, which means everything is spiritual, then the process of our thinking will be changed through this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Blessed is the man who walks not after the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the seat of the scornful, or stands in the way of the sinner, or sits in the seat of the scornful, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Is our delight in the law of the Lord? That's what changes the process of our thinking when we delight in God's law. He'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of living water. His leaf will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. Ah, I love that word. I love that scripture because it tells me that if I will take the Word of God, I will plant it in my heart, I will live by it, that I'm going to prosper in whatever I do. I claim prosperity in my life. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I walk in prosperity in my life. Yes, sir. I claim prosperity for this church. I claim prosperity for you. I believe that you can walk in it. However, I can't force you. I can give you the Word of God. I can't force feed it on you. You may feel like I am on Sunday mornings, but I'm not. All I'm doing, I'm just setting a table here. If you want to eat, you can.
That's right. That's right.
But I can tell you this, it's good food. Right. It'll change your life. It'll nourish you. You'll become healthy and strong and powerful and prosperous.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm not afraid of the word prosperity.
Yes.
God has called His people to walk in prosperity. That may mean different things to different people. But it means my whole life is going to be prosperous. Wherever I go and whatever I do. In Genesis chapter 1, it is very clear what God tells us that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to have dominion on this earth. And dominion means that every part of this earth, we're supposed to walk as believers in Jesus Christ. First, He established the Jews. Then, through the Jewish people, He sent the Messiah. And the Messiah set up a process for all people to be able to come into the kingdom of God. And through the kingdom, through the church, we are to establish this kingdom in the earth. And that kingdom means that we are to go forth with dominion in the name of Jesus Christ to change people's lives. In Psalms 115, verse 16, it says this, "The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's." Listen carefully to this. The heaven and the heavens. In Jewish way of thinking, there was three heavens. There was the sky, the atmosphere of the earth. There was the stars, celestial beings, bodies, the sun, moon, planets, and everything out there. And then there was the heaven God lives in. It says that all those, and that's what it's saying, the heaven, even the heavens, are God's. So we look up, that's all God's. Where God is, that's all His. But listen to what the rest of the scripture says. But the earth He has given to the children of men. He's given it to you. He's given it to me. And not just any children does He want to dominate this earth. He wants His people to dominate this earth.
Thank you, Lord.
He wants His ways. He wants His kingdom to dominate this earth.
Sir, that's right.
He wants his people to flourish. And I'm not talking about some kind of crazy rule over the masses of people on the face there. I'm talking about us walking in spiritual authority and showing people that the kingdom of God is real. Their lives can change. Is everybody going to come into the kingdom? No, but we're going to rescue hundreds and thousands when we understand our calling and our responsibility. It's going to change things. We're going to see people change here in this community. This scripture says all the heavens belong to God. The earth is our responsibility. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus came and he spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." There is an epic battle going on right now, all around us. And it's for the mind and the internal soul of mankind. If the enemy can capture a person's mind, he'll enslave your soul. He's trying to capture your mind. That's what I was talking about earlier. Allowing ourselves to be being programmed with the nonsense of this world instead of being programmed with the good things of God. We have a scripture in the Philippians 4:8 that tells us whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, think on these things. For if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on them. Meditate on these things. Think on the good things. Now, what are good things? The good things come from the Word of God. The good things are what the Word of God teaches us about who we are and what we are to accomplish. Think on good things, not on the evil things of this world. Think on the positive things. Think on what God wants to have happen. What we get caught up in is thinking on how difficult things are, what's going on, what's happening in our family, how much our wife or our husband made us mad this morning before we left the house. We think on those things, and we stew on those things, and we allow those things to stir inside of us instead of allowing the Word of God to come alive in us, being real in us. David, the great king of Israel, said this, in Psalms 119:11, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Jesus said, talked about the church, and he said that not even the gates of hell will prevail against it. Not even the gates of hell will prevail against us, the church, the people. Now, the word there, ekklesia, is a word that we think of as being only used in the Bible. But the reality is, Jesus did not make up that word. That word was used in Roman times. It was actually a Greek word, and they took that Greek word and they applied it to a principle of establishing their kingdom, their Roman kingdom all over the earth. And what they did was, they chose another word that we're very familiar with. They chose a person, an apostle. And they chose that apostle, and they took that apostle, and they said, "Now you choose a group of people to go out to the far reaches of our kingdom and establish a new colony, and an ecclesia. And when you set that up, you need to choose soldiers, you need to choose tradesmen, you need to choose people that can do all kinds of physical labor, you need to choose people from all walks of life, take them out there and set up a new part of our kingdom because you're going to be expanding the kingdom." Doesn't that give us a whole new concept of what the church is? You see, it's not just we come in here with these four walls. It gives us an idea that Jesus Christ called us as ecclesia to go out into the far reaches of his kingdom and touch lives and bring people into the kingdom and make a difference. That's what we're all about. That's what the church is. You see, we are exactly what I said earlier. We are the agents that are supposed to establish and expand the kingdom, the church. The church is not the entity in and of itself. We're just a part of it. We're an important part. Absolutely. When you become a believer, you become a part of the church. And then your responsibility as becoming a believer is to expand the kingdom. Expand the kingdom. So that we go out here to the far reaches and we expand it a little bit. For us, that's right out here in our community. Expanding that kingdom. And then we have a 50-mile radius. Expand that kingdom. And then beyond that, we have the world. Go into the world. There is no end to it. We got to keep expanding this kingdom, making it grow, sending it out. You see, when we begin to think like God's people think, we begin to have a different shift of mindset. Do you know that the Jewish people consist of about 1% of the world's population? But when it comes to Nobel Peace Prizes, Nobel Prizes of all kinds, 1/5 of all Nobel recipients are Jewish people. Why? Well, I think it's because they think different than we think. I think it's because they recognize that they have been established in the earth to rule. Yeah. Believe me, they're trying. They will do whatever they can. They have. And they still are. We have to get that same mindset. And as I said earlier, it's extremely important that we come to the realization that this is not about our personal success. This is about the kingdom success. This is about God's success. Because if we think it's about personal success, anytime something gets uncomfortable, we're ready to bail. We're ready to jump off. You know, we're ready to get off the ship. You know, the first thing off a ship that's going down is always the rats. They get off quickly. We don't want to bail. We don't care what it looks like. We're willing to make the sacrifice. Richard Wurmbrand was a believer. He was a Jewish believer in Jesus Christ, Messianic Jew. And in 1940s, he was in Romania, and the Germans occupied Romania. He told the Germans about Jesus. And they put him in prison. Then the Russians liberated Romania, and the communists came in, and he told the communists about Jesus. He spent 14 more years in prison. He sacrificed everything to accomplish what he was about as a believer in Jesus Christ, telling people about Jesus. Listen, are we there? We need to think about this a little bit. Could we do that? Are we willing to go through that kind of stuff for our King and our Lord? We need to examine ourselves. Amen. We need to think about these things. Now, we like the stories about David and Goliath. David slew the giant. Giant went down. We like the stories about Daniel, who went through the lion's den and he was delivered. And the three Hebrew children went through the fire. And we like the stories about Elijah and all those wonderful stories about victory. Victory is wonderful, and I believe victory is for God's people. However, we need to understand victory is not necessarily a personal victory. Yes. Victory is kingdom victory.
Yes. Amen.
The kingdom. What's happening in the kingdom? The Apostle Paul, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he says in Corinthians, he said, I was beaten 3 times. I was shipwrecked 3 times. Once I spent a night and a day in the deep. I thought I was going to die out there. Everywhere I go, they persecute me. I was stoned and left for dead. Time after time, I went through all these horrible things. Did the Apostle Paul hang his head and say, oh, poor me? No, he didn't. He said it was all for the kingdom. All for Christ. And he went home victorious. They cut his head off.
But he was victorious. He was a victorious kingdom representative. And in the millennium, we're going to see just how victorious he was. I believe that. God wants his people to recognize we do have victory in Christ. We must be strong. We must be faithful. We must stand. We must be willing to stand up when no one else will stand up. We must be willing to say in the face of all kinds of horrible evil and darkness, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Got to be faithful to our King. Got to be strong. God's building a kingdom people. He said he's coming back after a church without spot or blemish. That's us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm ready for it. Stand with me. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you'd like to be anointed with oil this morning for healing, bow our head and we'll pray. Dismiss. Father, our desire as believers is to be strong, to be faithful, to be overcomers. Lord, I believe there are many victories ahead for your people. But I believe also in order to have victory, we must be absolutely committed to serving you and doing whatever it takes. To stand in the face of opposition, to be strong and faithful, and no matter what comes our way, to uphold the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, today, we just give you glory and honor, and I praise you for your people. Thank you for the victory that you have for each of us. Thank you for the victory for your kingdom. Thank you for your biblical principles. Help us to stand on them and trust in you. Father, today we go forth in the name of Jesus Christ as representatives, as ambassadors for your kingdom to touch lives and expand the kingdom of God wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful day.